This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Monday, April the 14th, 2025. Thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio today is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And good morning, Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim.
All right, fellas. First of all, we want to thank folks last week for what happened last week on our share-a-thon. Ed?
Amen. We had an excellent share-a-thon, our spring share-a-thon, 3 days in the spring. We won't do that again until the fall, 3 days in the fall. And we reached our goal, $4 million, and had just over 17,000 donations. Mm-hmm. A lot of those, we believe, represent families. A lot of our folks who listen have families. And so we are grateful for Amen. The support of our listeners and for the Lord helping us stay on the air for another 6 months.
Amen. Fred, you took some phone calls from around the country, didn't you?
No, I was in here.
Oh, he's in here. Okay. Yes. Well, I know that a lot of our staff, the vast majority of our staff,
yes,
answered the phones and were blessed to talk to folks from around the country who believe in what we do.
And we had a good number of volunteers who came from outside the ministry, and they traveled on their own dime. Some of them coming. There was four that came from, like, South Carolina. I mean, they come from away, too, so.
Thank you very much. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, a lot of things going on in the news. Before we get to the hard news, we were talking this morning. I watch professional golf, and not everybody enjoys every sport. Everybody got what they like. But
And you play golf.
I play golf.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, some say I do. I do enjoy golf.
Yeah, so I do
enjoy playing and
interest in it.
And I watch and pay attention to professional golf.
Right.
And yesterday, Rory McIlroy, even people who don't know golf know that name. He's one of the top golfers. Now he may be the top golfer in the world. Anyway, he won the Masters, which is, one of the four major tournaments of the year for golf, and some can consider it the premier golf tournament. Anyway, he won that, and everybody, 9 years since he had won his last major tournament, and he had never won the Masters before for all his success. So every year it was like, are you going to win this year or you're going to lose again?
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of the questions he gets all the time leading up to the Masters for 9 years.
And I would guess for a professional, that would get in your head.
Yeah, you know, it's like people get off my back. So yesterday, he climbs the mountain, reaches the summit, and wins the Masters golf tournament. Rory McIlroy, he's from Northern Ireland, and it was just from a human perspective to watch the elation and the relief and the joy that he had just made you, at least for me, I think it made for most people made them smile.
It was heartwarming. You showed me the moment when he won, and it was heartwarming.
Yeah.
And I had read an article about, you know, some of his struggles, personal as well as in the golfing. And it was just, like you said, I like seeing people succeed.
Yeah.
And reach their dreams.
And I think part of the elation was the $3 million purse
that helps.
That he walked away with for winning. I've told people, you know, you have to seriously consider whether nowadays with the money that's in professional sports, especially like golf or tennis or something like that. I don't know. the value of an education versus just putting them on the golf course at 8-3 and say, you know what I'm saying? You work out here 8 hours a day, and we'll see how, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I hear you. It's a judgment call.
Well, that's what it was for you in professional basketball.
It was.
You had to make a choice.
I had to make a choice, yeah. But, you know, unfortunately, my knee made it for me.
Yeah.
So.
Who knows the heights which you would have reached.
I don't like to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
And I like for people to see their dreams come true because mine pretty much have been shattered.
Your athletic dreams?
No, just all my dreams.
Oh, yeah.
All my dreams kind of shattered.
You know what you need, my friend?
Yeah.
You need about 2 Joel Osteen books. Okay. And we'll get you back on track.
I need two. I need a double dose.
Yeah, you need a double dose. You need that. Every day's Friday. And whatever else a bestseller book is.
I'm just kidding, folks.
All right.
Other sporting news.
Yeah, you're going to be depressing now.
Switching now to a different sport. What do we got now, Fred?
Stanley Cup playoffs.
They started?
Next week?
This coming weekend.
NHL.
Yes.
So you guys keep me posted on that, huh?
And yes.
Watch for the Winnipeg Jets.
Okay.
And I'll just say, because I know Fred would like to say
this,
of the original 6 teams,
yeah,
2 in Canada, 4 in the United States, this is the first time ever that all 4 United States-based original 6 teams will not be playing. They're all out. New York Rangers, Boston Bruins, Chicago Blackhawks. That's Fred's favorite team, actually.
Yep.
And the Detroit Red Wings all failed to make the playoffs. The Bruins are my favorite team.
But a
bunch of Canadian teams.
Yeah,
are in.
Well,
Ottawa, Toronto,
Winnipeg,
Montreal,
finished
Winnipeg.
First in their division.
Yeah.
Is this in the Bible?
Like, I don't know.
Like the Book of Revelation?
I don't know. We may have to call Jan Markell and find out.
Find out if all 6 original teams don't make the...
Well, the four U.S.-based teams.
Yes.
Montreal and Toronto are original 6 teams. They're in. Calgary might get in. They still have a shot.
All right, fellas. So I think we need to stop right
Chicago
there.
Blackhawks finished 31st.
My team, the Boston Bruins, right now are the fourth worst team in the league.
Okay. I think we're going to lose people here.
Oh, yeah. But the golf, that'll
keep people. Yes. We all have our favorites, don't we?
Yeah. All right.
I do like the NHL when it gets right down to the, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's going to be exciting.
When you get the Stanley Cup and everything's on the line. That's fun to watch. Yeah. It's kind of like people who watch professional golf. They may have watched yesterday, but they're not going to watch next week.
Right.
You know, when some routine tournament comes along.
Yeah.
You know?
The routines.
Just turn over there and watch me some professional bowling. What I'm looking at. You guys want me to review the bowling season for you?
Yeah, go right ahead.
We
had Sherathon last week.
Yeah, all right. All right, Fred.
Four of you, buddy.
What piece of depressing news do you have for us this Monday morning, Fred?
Scary, scary, scary
In
moments.
All seriousness.
Yes. Yeah. For Governor Josh Shapiro, he is the Democrat governor of Pennsylvania. 2:00 yesterday morning, someone, and we now know his name, 38-year-old Cody Palmer of Harrisburg.
Balmer, I think.
Is that B-A-L-M-E-R?
B-A-L.
Balmer. He scales a 7-foot fence that's around the governor's house, scales that fence, brings with him some Molotov cocktails, breaks a couple of glass windows, throws those Molotov cocktails in there. The good news is the governor's family all got out.
But they were in there. They were asleep.
2:00 Sunday morning. And if you've seen some of the pictures, I mean, it's just total destruction inside.
This didn't just burn a few drapes.
No.
This gutted the mansion.
Now, the 38-year-old Cody Palmer has been arrested. In fact, he turned himself in. But I just was looking at the update here from Fox News. Let me tell you a little bit about this guy, trying to figure out why he did this. First of all, Fox is reporting that this guy was first identified to police by a former girlfriend after he allegedly confessed to her and wanted her to call police to turn him in. A short time later, he turned himself in. According to Fox News, while being interviewed by troopers, Palmer admitted to harboring hatred towards Governor Shapiro. We don't know why. He allegedly told investigators he removed gasoline from a lawnmower and poured it into some bottles he found at his residence. And then he walked an hour to the governor's mansion with the intention of throwing these homemade Molotov cocktails into the residence. The police say he admitted to scaling the perimeter fence, breaking two windows, and then throwing in, he broke them with a hammer he had, threw in the Molotov cocktails inside, and then allegedly admitted he was aware it was possible that Shapiro and others were in the home at the time, and it was a possibility that people could be injured by his actions. So they already got this confession from this guy. He says he hates the governor, but he doesn't say why, at least so far. But Governor Shapiro, obviously upset. Governor Shapiro he's a Jewish family, and they had just finished on Saturday evening celebrating Passover. There's no indication yet of anti-Semitism in this, but we're fairly young in investigating all of this. Governor Shapiro, very obviously upset when he had this news conference late yesterday. Cut number one.
We don't know the person's specific motive yet, but we do know a few truths. First, this type of violence is not okay. This kind of violence is becoming far too common in our society. And I don't give if it's coming from one particular side or the other, directed at one particular party or another, or one particular person or another. It is not okay. And it has to stop. We have to be better than this. And we have a responsibility to all be better.
So that's Governor Josh Shapiro, obviously and understandably very upset. But he's making the point that this, as he said, this kind of violence, regardless of political affiliation, has to stop. And the question is, why are we seeing more of this violence? Certainly we're familiar with what happened to President Trump on the campaign trail last July, the attempt on his life. But the governor asked an interesting question, guys. Why are we seeing more and more of this kind of violence?
Well, first of all, I certainly can appreciate the governor being so upset about this. Second of all, I am kind of stunned that an individual can get that close to a governor's family, to a governor and his family, scaling a fence, breaking windows. He's carrying Molotov cocktails. Nobody sees him. Apparently.
No. And he got away.
This guy could have gone into the mansion and walked upstairs.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm really stunned that there's so little security, so little protection for the governor of a large state like that. That seems inexcusable. But just to answer the question that you raised and that he's kind of raising, I think this individual that did this, the alleged, I guess we still need to say alleged. A lot of these people seem to be mentally or emotionally unhinged. And when a culture like ours gets so divided, angrily divided, you know, so deeply, hatefully divided, there's a small percentage on both sides, I guess, that kind of fall off the edge and engage in this kind of activity. But I will also say, my final point, there is also organized violence.
Yes.
And I have to say that the left at this point, because I think they're motivated by Marxism, they are more organized. And we've seen this with the firebombings of Tesla dealerships and some of these other things. We don't need to go into all the details, but this is well organized. So there's a number of factors at play here. I guess we got to wait to find out which category this guy falls in.
Well, yeah, do we know the motivation?
No. No, we don't.
It wasn't political or anti-Semitic or anything?
No. We don't know at this point. It might. Yeah. He might talk more.
There's another case, I think this is in Wisconsin. Young man, and this goes back 2 or 3 weeks ago, he is now charged with murdering his parents because he wanted to get money from them to carry out a possible assassination of President Trump. So this is a young man. I'm sure of his late teens, early 20s, but he's charged now with murdering his parents to get some money to go and carry out an assassination attempt on President Trump. These are all fairly young individuals that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And it's troubling. And you raise, there are mental problems, yes. But I'm also very concerned, as you have raised, Ed, about the organized protests, yeah, the anti-Semitism that we've seen on our university campuses.
Listen, I wrote for the Stand magazine, AFA's magazine, I don't know, several months ago. This might have been, I'm not sure. Anyway, within the last 6 months, I wrote an article dealing with the assassination attempt on President Trump, okay, before the election. And in doing some research for that, I found out that since the assassination of John F. Kennedy, there have been assassination either attempts or plans foiled by federal law enforcement. Of course, some came to fruition. There were assassination attempts. Reagan was shot. An attempt on Ford's life, okay? But every single president since then has had attempts or plans foiled. Mm-hmm. So this becomes kind of a go-to plan for people who hate the other side politically. And it just seems to be a part of our U.S. culture right now. And you can talk about all kinds of reasons for that. But since JFK, every president...
Well, also had the United Healthcare,
right?
The CEO who was assassinated.
Yeah,
that was so well planned. But what was scary about that is how many people supported him because they don't like insurance companies.
Well, there was a poll we talked about last week, I think, or maybe the week before, that 55% of self-described leftists in this country are okay with assassinating Trump. That's stunning.
Yeah, I just wonder though, with Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania, he's a Jew.
Yes,
and it was Passover. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Right. Yes.
And so I mean, and I just think
that can't be coincidence. What you're saying?
I think we'll probably find out this guy was anti-Semitic. That's what I'm saying, and hated Jews. That's what I'm saying. That's most likely what will be uncovered. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Listen, when you got 340 million people living in a country, you're going to have some wackadoodle,
yeah,
crazy nuts who do things that are violent or extreme, assassination attempts and things like that. They get, and they usually... or by themselves, loners, and they get unhinged on something, obsessed with something, and then they have mental problems. Anyway, there's a combination of factors why people do go to the extent.
There's a lot of drugs in our culture, recreational drugs, but also pharmaceuticals that people take. Yeah. And who knows what happens to the minds of some people. I'm not saying that they're not necessary for depression or whatnot, but we just don't know what happens to people who've been taking these kind of things for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. Next story, Fred.
Well, we know some of the violence in this country has been imported. And a lot of people say thanks to Joe Biden, he opened up the border. And we had gangs coming in from Venezuela and many other countries. Well, today, President Trump will be hosting a meeting with the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, I believe his name is. And he's going to be at the White House today. And, of course, President Trump is using a very high-level, high-security facility in El Salvador. We've already shipped at least 210 of the gang members that have been arrested since President Trump came into office. And so he'll be meeting today. They'll likely be talking about more of these individuals. And there's a lot to talk about today as far as the gangs that are in this country and the efforts being made to basically get rid of these guys because they pose such a serious threat to the country. Well, this morning, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was interviewed about this. In particular, she was asked about a judge that wants the Trump administration to bring one of these guys back because there was a clerical error in the arrest documents that sent this guy to El Salvador. Here's what Kristi Noem had to say about all of that. Cut number six.
Is that stop acting like you have the authority to dictate foreign policy and national security decisions that the president is making to protect its citizens. So this was just one of those examples of an individual that, you know, was an MS-13 gang member, had multiple charges and encounters with the individuals here. Trafficking in his background, was found with other MS-13 gang members, very dangerous person. And what the liberal left and the fake news are doing to turn him into a media darling is sickening. We need to stop doing this, stop allowing liberal judges to try to dictate what President Trump is doing to make America safe again. So I'm grateful for the Supreme Court's decision, and I'm hopeful that we can have a new path forward where the president and his powers are recognized.
Who's that?
That's Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Now, she also was talking about Real ID, and Real ID comes into effect. The deadline is May the 7th. And you may want to have a look at your driver's license, folks, right now, because there should be a little emblem up in the right-hand side. If you don't have one of those driver's licenses, you can't even travel domestically, maybe if you have a passport that you carry with you. But Real ID, Kristi Noem says, is going to be another method that the country, our authorities, can use to try to catch some of the bad guys. Cut number 11.
To do that, you've had quite a bit of discussion on Real ID and its implementation here in the country. And the reason that Real ID is being enforced is because it's a federal law. Joe Biden mm-hmm. kicked the can to May 7th. And this Real ID is going to just empower the states to make sure we're checking people's residences. Their current legal status will be verified. We're going to make sure that people who are getting Social Security numbers in this country aren't voting in states. The states have the power and the information to ensure election integrity. And here at the federal level, that information is not going to be any biometric information. It'll just allow people to get an ID that they should be on our planes. They should be people that are United States residencies, and that legal status will be checked. So it'll allow us to get more information to states so that they're making sure that they're protecting their election laws as well.
Now, there's a couple of things. I know we have to go to a break. But DOGE has been looking at Social Security numbers and who they have gone to. Folks, it's scary. We're talking about thousands of people that are even on the terror watch list in this country who are getting Social Security numbers. That's one aspect to all of this. And so, as I say, I know we're coming up on the break here, but I think we need to talk about that when we come back.
Well, and some of the numbers that we kind of have kicked around here the last couple of weeks. New non-citizen Social Security numbers issued for fiscal year 2024 was over 2 million.
Yes.
That was up more than a million over fiscal year 2023. And fiscal year 2021 was only 270,000. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But we're talking about non-citizens
yes.
getting Social Security numbers.
Yep.
How's that even possible? Do you not have to provide proof of citizenship?
Not in Joe Biden's America. I guess they didn't.
No, that's true. How many did you say? We can come back to those numbers. We get back in the
Yeah, we can come back. Over fiscal year 2024, more than 2 million non-citizens received a Social Security number.
Who's saying this?
This is from Fox. This is a story that was on Fox a week or so
report?
Again. I don't know. I screenshot it and sent it around, but it was on Fox Business.
All right, we'll take a short time out right here. More to discuss, more stories to deal with that are in the news here in our country and abroad. We'll talk to you momentarily.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, welcome back to Today's Issues on this Make Your Blood Boil Monday. Make Your Blood Boil Monday here on American Family Radio. That's our goal. So Fred whips up these stories that get your blood pressure to go to 200.
That's right.
So
makes my skin boil.
So Fred's... I think you're mixing your metaphors.
I know.
Or either that's something.
My blood.
Either that's you got something biblical going on there.
Makes my blood crawl. I like mixing.
Is that
metaphors.
In the Bible?
I like mixing metaphors. Yeah. I mean, it's not rocket surgery. Okay.
Yeah, you're becoming the object of our scorn
yes.
now. Okay, so I've told this, but I got to tell it again.
Now you got to.
I got to tell it again. So my wife, Allison, we've been married 40 years, but this is about 20 years ago, I guess.
Right.
So we're out in the yard, it's summertime, and we're doing yard work. She does 90%, I do 10, but it was my 10% day.
Right.
So I'm out helping out. So my oldest son, I got three kids. My oldest son, Wesley, was, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 at the time. He had his driver's license, so he would have been. Anyway, his mother goes, his mother, you know where I'm going with this when I call her his mother.
Yes.
So he did something to tick her off. And she gets off the cell phone after talking to him and, like, looks at, and she gets the rake back. And then poor rake, you know, just taking the abuse of her anger. So she looks over at me and she goes, I'll tell you one thing, that Wesley Wildman, he better stop and smell the coffee. Better stop. He better wake up and smell the coffee. And I was like, I think you mean stop and no. She said he better stop and smell the roses. So I think you meant stop and smell the coffee or something like that. Anyway, she got her metaphors.
Yeah,
mixed up pretty big time. And I didn't say anything. I didn't point it out at the time. It wasn't appropriate. It wouldn't have benefited.
It wasn't appropriate. Yeah, that wasn't the reason.
Well, it wouldn't have been. Yes,
she had a deadly weapon in her hand.
Right, wouldn't have benefited me at all to say, "Hey, you mixed up your metaphors right there."
That's right. Huh? And I think
you want to correct that.
You just need to calm down, Allison.
Right, you need to wake up and smell the roses.
I think that must have been what it was. We wake up, and smell the coffee.
That's what it was. And she said, "Wake up and smell the roses." You better
wake up. Okay. Wake up. And
you know how people say you better wake up and smell the coffee?
Stop and smell the roses.
Yes.
Wake up and smell the
coffee. I myself,
in
trying to remember this, got my metaphor mixed up. She said, he better wake up and smell the roses. And so.
And you said, well, dear, I think.
You meant.
Yeah, I think.
No, I waited like till later that night to point it out. Everything.
That's because you had been married long enough.
You're right about that.
You'd learn that lesson.
Every married man knows exactly what you're talking about. Huh? Hey, there's a reason they say if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
That is absolutely true.
That's in Proverbs.
My wife sometimes will say something about, you know, she did this or she picked this up.
Right.
And I can, you guys probably don't know this. I'm prone sometimes to complaining. Okay.
Really?
But yeah.
Wow.
But she'll,
it's rare.
She'll say something and she'll look at me and she'll say, problem? I go, no, ma'am.
People couldn't see unless they're watching on the internet how your eyes batted.
Yes.
So you evidently got Diane down pretty good there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Problem? No, ma'am. This is just the way I like it.
What's that look on your face?
It is.
Are you going to say something?
Sheer rapture. I just am so in love.
I don't like your body language. I'm going like I'm driving a car. How can I even have any body language?
But you are right. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Fred.
All right, a little bit of Department of Government Efficiency news, better known as DOGE. You remember back there, I think this was another court case with regards to what DOGE can and can't do. But anyway, a judge said they had the right to start investigating Social Security numbers. Who has them? Remember, there's been all kinds of talk about, 150-year-olds and 5-year-olds and all of that sort. Well, the latest report has to do with how many people on the terror watch list have been able to get Social Security numbers. 6,500 illegals on the terror watch list had Social Security numbers and were receiving some kind of benefits. 900 of them had been collecting Medicaid. 41% of them had been getting unemployment insurance. And 22 had federal student loans. I mean, this is amazing. Now, we're getting this from DOGE volunteer Antonio Gracias. And this is what he had to say about that. Cut number 5.
It made my jaw drop, too, when I saw it. We were in Social Security looking for fraud, waste, and abuse. And to do that, we actually looked at the enumeration system, the system by which people get numbers in America. And we found that there were just about 5+ million of them that came to the country as illegals, were giving various forms of parole or allowed in the country, and then got through an automatic system, Social Security numbers, so they get into our benefit systems. And we tracked that through and found that they were on the benefit programs. And just because we were curious, we then looked to see if they were on the voter rolls. And we found in a handful of cooperative states that there were thousands of them on the voter rolls and that many of them had voted.
So I hope you got that. 5 million people in the country illegally able to get, and I'm not understanding what he was saying, there's some kind of automatic way you can get a Social Security number. What in the world?
Yeah, who can solve this? Now that it's been exposed, I wonder who's going to do something about it. Hopefully President Trump will be able to do something. We can't have this.
This is so bizarre. We're talking about 6,500 people who are on the terrorist watch list who hate our country, and we're paying them.
Yeah.
The taxpayers are paying people who hate our country and want to harm us. That is just so bizarre to me.
You know what happens here? The federal government gets so big and bloated that the left hand doesn't know what the two right hands are doing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it just gets so massive. It's that nobody, President Trump and Elon Musk and others are trying to expose this so that something can be done. And because they're exposing fraud, waste, and abuse, they're getting, especially Elon Musk, and they're getting slammed. And I'm going like, what are they doing that's a problem?
Yeah, why is this not bipartisan?
Yeah, it should be bipartisan.
Why is not members of the Democratic Party,
right.
Why aren't they just as horrified as the rest of us?
Yeah, and so it took something like this with President Trump telling Elon Musk, go out and find waste, fraud, and abuse, and you have the authority of my office to do your investigation. It took something like this to expose these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And it seems like every 3 or 4 days there's just something outrageous that they talk
right.
about. Then you go, surely this couldn't be happening, and it is. And
yeah.
So anyway, President Trump is being his executive orders to dismantle some of these organizations are for the most part being upheld by the Supreme Court.
Yes.
So because saying they're not ruling on whether they like Trump or not, or whether they like his politics of Elon Musk or not, they're saying yes. the office of the presidency does have the authority to do such and such.
You know, this is so strange with these people on the terrorist watch list who want to harm us. I was just thinking, it's like watching a movie where someone hires a hitman, and the person who's supposed to get hit is paying the guy.
Yeah,
I'm paying you to try to kill me. It's beggar's belief.
Did you see the numbers of people who have been voting?
Yes.
They're getting on voting lists.
Well, this is a part. We all know who to blame for this. All right. Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, by and large, not all. There were some outliers, John Fetterman and a few others. But by and large, they supported Biden's open the border policy. And it's clear and has been made clear that the reason they were doing that is to turn the whole country blue by letting people in that were more than likely to vote for socialist policies, and they were going to bribe them by giving them welfare and college loans.
Free medical care.
Free medical care, all of this, and then Social Security numbers and letting them vote. Right. That was the plan. And when we talk about a political reprieve for this country, we have 4 years, maybe just 2 years until midterms, less than 2 years now. But we had to try to reverse some of this because we came that close to losing the country.
You know, we can move on to the next topic here, but I just, I've never seen I didn't think I'd see the day when one of our two major political parties, the Democrats here in this case, don't care about borders,
yeah,
at all, and would just don't care, and let them all come in. We'll pay for everything, and that's just that. By the way, that wouldn't be sustainable if you really did that. If you did it to the degree that the Democrats really would like to do it, that is, continue to flood the country with millions of people, like Ted's point, and with the end goal being to turn the whole country blue. If you flood the United States with people, they come in here and then you make them citizens, you let them vote, then they're beholden to the Democrat Party forever, and we become just a blue country,
right?
That's what the objective would be by the Democrats. But it's just like, man, don't you even care about your borders, controlling the borders? Nope, don't.
Right.
Now, they wouldn't say it, some of them, exactly like I just did, but for all practical purposes. Well, they pretended, the Democrats, Biden, Mayorkas, they right. went through the motions. They pretended like, yeah, we care.
It's secure.
We're doing the very best we can. The border's secure. One of the best lines in President Trump's State of the Union speech was, I don't know if they've called it State of the Union officially, but, you know, a couple months ago was when he said that Biden had let millions and millions and millions of people in. Some people think 15 million or so illegally. Into our country, didn't care, didn't stop them, shipped them all over America, or they went all over the country. And then when Trump gets in, he shuts it down completely. Now it's a trickle. And right. He said the people kept saying we need new legislation. That's what the Democrats kept saying. We need comprehensive immigration
reform.
Remember all this?
Yeah.
That's what Harris was saying and Biden was saying,
right.
and all the Democrats.
Blaming the Republicans.
We need this law or we can't do anything. And Trump said, no, we didn't. Evidently, we didn't need a law change. We just needed a presidential change.
Yeah, we just needed a new president.
And I thought that was a mic drop
yep.
moment right there. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Listen, for whatever other promises President Trump made during the campaign that have yet to be fulfilled, and there are some, and that he's working on. The shutting down the border, one of the linchpins of his campaign, he has absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely, and the massive deportation, which we're going to talk about right now because we got the president of El Salvador at the White House today, right, Fred?
That's correct.
Anyway, just kudos to Fred. It isn't often that politicians follow through with their promises, and I will say this about President Trump and his team. With respect to border control and deporting gang members, he has absolutely doing everything that he said he would do.
And it looks like he's going to basically federalize the border using troops.
Yes.
So, to your point, this is exactly what he said he was going to do on this issue, and he is doing it, and he's rocking it.
Yeah.
I mean, just so successful.
There was one. There was a story last week, I think it was, at one of the border areas that when Joe Biden was there, hundreds of people were coming in every day. And they has an example of what has happened since Donald Trump became president once again. They said they went back to this area of the border. I forget where it was, New Mexico, I think. They went back, and the only person that was there was a guy with a broom, and he was sweeping the cement around this crossing. That was it. Nobody.
Yeah.
And that's a tremendous example of what Donald Trump has done.
Yeah. Next story, Fred.
All right.
What about this story with El Salvadorian president?
Well,
he's in the White House now.
He is at the White House right now. They're going to be talking about the understanding that I have from some of the press reports that I've read is that the president of El Salvador, he is ready to take even more of these individuals who
Nayib Bukele?
Bukele. He is willing to take more. Now, the United States government, is paying El Salvador $6 million to house the guys that we have shipped down there already. $6 million for 1 year. Now, what happens after that, we don't know. But apparently, he is very open. Bukele is a very interesting guy. He has become extremely popular there in Central America because he has been dealing with the gangs in Central America. And I think perhaps many of our listeners have seen the pictures of this facility that's down there. Very high-tech looking.
Is this the one that Christy Noem went to?
Yes, and she stood outside the bars. And, I mean, in a cell, you probably have 20, 25 guys.
Yeah.
And you have racks, not nice bunk beds, and color TV.
Right.
No, not at all. You have these guys in racks, and I think they're in there 23 hours a day. They get 1 hour outside. But he's a rock star in Central America, visiting the White House today. And
That's that prison where barbers have job security.
They all get their heads shaved.
Yeah, and keep them shaved. You know what? I would imagine this fellow here, what's his name?
Bukele.
Okay.
He's the president of El Salvador.
That is correct.
I imagine he would be a top target of the gangs.
Oh.
Of the, the drug cartels and people like that, because evidently he's a tough guy and he's shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Fred kind of gave me a compliment this morning in our story meeting. He said, this Bukele guy, he looks like an Italian. And I thought he was going to say a handsome Italian guy, but he said an Italian mobster.
Yeah. Yeah, that was disappointing. I was there when that happened.
Yeah. Oh, that wow. Was, I just.
Inappropriate.
Yeah.
Broke your heart, right?
He is a good looking young guy. And apparently.
He's in the White House.
Is conservative and tough.
He's at the White House today talking to President Trump. So we're paying El Salvador to
$6 million to house them for 1 year. After that, I'm not sure what happens.
Okay. So they El Salvador is now our new Guantanamo Bay, basically. Am I right?
Well, here's the thing. I'd be in favor of us paying an ongoing amount. I don't know how many, whatever billions.
To take them?
Yeah, to take them, because some of these come from some of these gang members that we sent there come from other countries. Weren't there some Venezuelans that we sent down? And they said, we'll take them. I'm saying, all right, fine, we'll pay you.
There was one person, I think, that was sent there wrongly, and we're getting him. He's coming back.
I think this
you read that?
No, this, no, no, this no. is the one.
Is that a false fake news?
Or that's the one that
Christy Noem.
Christy Noem was saying he was MS-13. He already had priors.
Okay, then it was fake
news.
But
the media.
That's what I read. I sucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
See there?
Yeah.
They fooled me even on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway, so, all right, next story, Fred.
Hey, listen, there's so many fronts that Donald Trump is dealing with right now. And we all know dealing with the anti-Semitism, the anti-Israel protests. And one of the big leaders of that has been Mahmoud Khalil.
Who is he?
He is in a detention center right now in Louisiana. All right. He led the protests on the campus of Columbia University in New York. So ICE picked him up. He's got a green card. ICE picked him up, sent him to the detention center in Louisiana. Well, on Friday, late Friday afternoon, a Louisiana immigration judge gave her the ruling that this guy, Mahmoud Khalil, can be deported. And this is something that Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, is really big on. He's saying these students, some of them come here on student visas, and they're taking part in these anti-Israel, anti-Semitic protests on our campuses. And he's saying, we're going to ship you out. When we give you a visa to come here as a student, when we give you a green card to come here, you have to behave yourself. And if you're leading anti-Israel protests, you're being hard on Jewish students. Jewish students are being mistreated, not only at Columbia University, but several others. You're not welcome here anymore. So the green light has been given. Now, the lawyers for Mahmoud Khalil have until, I think, next week to respond to this judge's decision. But, you know, you talk about the mainstream media. He has a wife who's, I think, expecting a child. She's an American citizen, by the way. But, they're not just complaining about anti-Semitism on our campuses. They are actually doing something about it. And also, another prong in the effort to deal with the anti-Semitism is to withhold funds from these universities who are refusing to do something about it. And then we have the case of Columbia University, that the Trump administration now wants to install federal oversight over Columbia University. They would appoint a judge to actually look at how things are being run there and to track down how it is that Jewish students are allowed to be mistreated. And we know that it's not only students, folks, it's professors at some of these universities that are very anti-Jewish.
Well, the news media, by and large, has defended Mahmoud Khalil, basically saying this is a free country. You're allowed to have your political beliefs and your political opinions. And ordinarily, I would say, okay, if you're an American citizen, you have the right to your views, no matter how trashy they are, no matter how vile many of us think they are. But if you're a guest in the country, it makes absolute sense that the federal government, the Trump administration that is in charge of visas and green cards and so on and so forth, has the right to say that kind of behavior we don't want. You're a guest, just like a guest in someone's home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something you might do in your home is not necessarily appropriate at somebody else's home.
That's right.
You know? So I think this guy needs to go. I feel bad for his situation with his wife expecting, but that's on him.
Yeah,
he has a visa in this country, and he spent it basically campaigning against Jews.
Yeah.
And let me just say as a side note, I never thought we'd be in this country, be at a place where you look at two political parties that are taking two opposite views on the Jews in this country. I just never thought we'd get here where one political party and college campuses are defending the right of students to make Jews feel unsafe on campus.
Hey, along those lines, we wanted to make sure everybody got the news that Governor Mike Huckabee, former Governor Mike Huckabee of Arkansas, was confirmed.
Yes.
As the U.S. ambassador to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Under President Trump. President Trump appointed Governor Huckabee. He's still called governor, even though you're not. But and Mike Huckabee was on with us on this show about 2 months ago, I guess, or so. And we were talking about this because he had yet to be confirmed or had his hearings, and that was in the last 10 days or so. So he's either in Israel or getting ready to go to Israel, and we've been in communication with him, and he will be in our show. He will be on this show as he promised. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I told him, I told Brent, our producer, I told him, we don't need any more lying politicians. So if you told us you're going to do something,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he said, yes.
We're hoping to get him on next week sometime.
Yeah, maybe next week. So yeah. Pray for Mike Huckabee and his wife and their new role there, because that's an extremely important position. It's really the face of the U.S., in terms of at least our president in Israel, one of our key allies. And Mike Huckabee loves Israel.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's one of us. Okay. Yes. He's an evangelical Christian who has a great, great appreciation for the history of that land. Yeah. And so he'll do a great job, and we look forward to visiting with Mike Huckabee coming up very soon. All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. When we get back, Steve Paisley Jordahl will be on with us. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.